You're listening to If You Only Knew on 97.9 The Hill. Dr. Deborah Stroman brings you stimulating sports and society discussions with some of the biggest influencing forces in sports and sports business. From athletes to owners, If You Only Knew covers all the bases with informative and engaging content from end zone to end zone.
It's that fun time of the year when football runs into basketball and basketball runs into football. For those of us out there in Tar Heel land, in the sports land, that just loves this season, there is no doubt there's a lot to do. There's a lot to think about. There is some breaking news that I think we need to think about. We need to be critical and strategic thinkers about. There is news around college sports, and it's about transferring. Judge John P. Bailey of the United States District Court for the Northern District of West Virginia granted a 14-day temporary restraining order that stops the NCAA, the National Collegiate Athletic Association, which has, I believe, around 363 Division I schools, with approximately 190,000 athletes. It prevents the association from enforcing its bylaw that requires these college athletes who transfer more than once to sit out a year at their new school. This is a game changer. Again, right? We just keep going back and forth with one after another. Well, here's the latest. See, currently under NCAA rules, college athletes can transfer once during their career and play immediately at their new school. For those of us who keep up with Tar Heel sports, we know the story of Tez Walker, star receiver for UNC football. We know his situation. Tez Walker was one of those students who transferred not once, but twice, three times. And under the current rules, athletes who transfer again need a waiver from the NCAA to play immediately. Tez got the waiver, and UNC made a lot of noise in the process about it. Not only UNC made a lot of noise, but a lot of alums, people who support Tez, and other athletes who don't believe that they should be handcuffed. The noise was loud, and I do believe it made a difference in Tez Walker playing for UNC football this year. Now, those not granted a waiver are deemed ineligible for a single season, also called a year in residence. Tez almost was in that category. Judge Bailey said that beginning now, for a two-week period beginning yesterday, as in Wednesday, and running through December 27th, college student athletes now who are transferring a second time or more can play immediately at their new school. So there's going to be quite a few athletes who've been waiting, who've been hoping, in particular basketball, right? Now they can go play ball. Now, we're not sure if this is going to last. People are saying that it will last because there will be a preliminary injunction hearing on December 27th, where the judge is expected to rule in a more permanent way. Who's upset? Starting with University of Georgia President Moorhead. He also chairs the NCAA Division I Board of Directors. He says this unlimited transfer policy is inconsistent with the NCAA's goal of graduating athletes. And in fact, the NCAA should abolish its transfer waiver process altogether. As in, once you make the decision to attend that institution of higher learning, that's your home. Regardless of the conditions, no do-overs. Well, I shouldn't say that. You can do it over, but there's going to be a price to pay. President Moorhead stated, "We want every student athlete to earn a degree as part of their college experience. Our rules have to be focused on that important objective. I think there are legitimate academic reasons not to have student athletes engaged in multiple transfers. It does not achieve our goal in having student athletes graduate from institutions. We've lost our way a bit here." Well, that's not the first time the NCAA has been viewed as losing its way. But President Moorhead, again, University of Georgia, and many others saying that the NCAA needs to modify the transfer policy. Just stop with these waivers and allowing student athletes to go from school to school to school. So during this time period, multi-time transfers can now play without needing a waiver, and they can't be penalized. If the ruling later on is reversed, you can keep your status. You're not going to be hurt by it. Now, we don't know what's going to go on in the future. But again, but now until December 27th, game on. Get your game on. This is important for North Carolina, for the Tar Heels, and definitely all the other Division I schools in the state, such that our gubernatorial candidate, our current Attorney General, Josh Stein, even weighed in. In fact, he was a part of, I believe it was 7 attorney generals who filed suit, saying the NCAA has got it all wrong. Josh Stein suggested that if a student athlete is doing well in school, as in they are eligible, they're passing their courses, they're going to class, and they're on track to graduate, they should be able to transfer and play immediately an unlimited number of times. He says it's the American way. And besides that, it's a requirement of federal law, right? Freedom of movement. This captivity, this kidnapping of student athletes, Josh Stein says it offends the requirement. Antitrust, right? So who's going to manage all this? Currently, waivers are managed by a team of 12 NCAA staff members in Indianapolis. A team member is assigned to each waiver as a case manager. And so these case managers go through the paperwork, they have interviews, they try to investigate the reality. There are 4 criteria to be granted a waiver: physical illness or injury, exigent a circumstance such as being a victim of an on-campus crime, as in it's demand, we must take action, educational disability, and then the one that most people lean on, it seems most of the waivers that are granted, it's due to mental health. So now we're really getting into murky waters. Judge John Bailey granted a 14-day temporary restraining order that prevents the NCAA from stopping athletes who transfer more than once, stopping them from having to sit out. We'll be right back. If you only knew, Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill.
You're listening to If You Only Knew on 97.9 The Hill. Here's Dr. Deborah Stroman.
You're listening to Dr. Debbie Stroman, and I'm talking about breaking news, college sports. Judge Bailey granted a 14-day temporary restraining order that prevents the NCAA, the National Collegiate Athletic Association, from enforcing its bylaw that requires college athletes who transfer more than once to sit out a year at their new school. This has opened up the floodgate. And I'm not saying that there are 1,000 or 10,000 athletes in this predicament. But what we're talking about is the ability for athletes to be able to move and go to another school if they are unhappy, or if the conditions are uncomfortable, or if there's an issue of safety. Now, this ruling came from 2 other lawsuits against the NCAA around transfer rules. One was from Raekwon Battle at West Virginia University, a basketball player. And then the other lawsuit was from seven different state attorney generals, including our very own Josh Stein, who just flat out want to see this entire transfer policy eliminated. They were consolidated. The hearing was held in front of Bailey in West Virginia. And the court found that there's a pretty good probability of success based on the plaintiff's claims. And so for the NCAA, they've got to be nervous. They've got to be troubled. They got to figure something out. December 27th, the permanent ruling will be made. So is this good or bad for college sports? Where you stand often depends on where you sit. Now, it's definitely good for the college athlete for many reasons. The biggest being is if coaches can move from school to school and get paid and get rewarded, thanks for what you did at that other location, then why can't athletes? Our very own Coach Elko, right, over at Duke football. He didn't stay for the athletes, for the folks in that pretty blue who invested in Elko and Coach Cutliffe before, right? The facilities are very good at Duke now for football. They've hired more people to take them to the next level to compete for ACC championships. Elko left right after the press conference. One of those stealth moves, right? Moves with the jet plane headed right to Texas A&M. Can we fault him? He's going back home. He helped build the program there as the defensive coordinator. Capitalism, freedom of movement. Well, why can't the athlete do that? The other consideration is mental health. One of the biggest reasons why the waivers are granted is because the athlete's situation is investigated and they find out that there is a mental health concern here. Whether that's abuse by the coach or the staff, whether it's just not feeling well, too much pressure academically, not being able to perform in the classroom or in your sport, depression, which is real, athletes want out. Now, are some of them masking? As in, there is no mental health problem. But the folks around them have come up with such a great case, they use that to get the waiver. I can't imagine. I don't want to believe that that's the reality. I'm sure it has happened, though. But I don't want to believe it. Is this change to the transfer policy for 2 weeks? Is it bad? Lots of reasons for that. As in, what is the purpose of college? To grow up, gain independence, gain knowledge and skills, which leads us into the area of whether or not college is for independence, critical thinking, or is it to get a job? And there's no doubt there are more and more people who believe that this 4 and 5 year experience is to get a job, so that you don't have to come back home and live off of mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and guardians and sleeping on the sofa. Get a job. Whether that's in sports or non-sports. Are the athletes taking a slot from someone who might have stayed for 4 or 5 years and graduated? Right? Is this transfer policy bad? Does the typical student, not a student athlete, is the typical student, do they bring as much value to the school as some of these elite athletes who bring in big dollars? So let them go from school to school. But is that harmful? Are we now telling athletes that it's a good decision, it's a good move to go to another school if you don't like the conditions, if you're not happy, if you're not getting the playing time that you want and deserve? What about being persistent? What about finishing what you started? Which makes us think about how we need to make sure the athletes know how important the recruiting process is. It is a life, possibly a life-altering decision. Don't just go where all the flashy things are, the nice swag, you get some Jordans, the locker room is really hot. It's much more than that. If your coach decides to leave, the coach who recruited you, who came to see you play in all the games, got to know your parents and your family, what if they leave? Will you be happy at that university? Do you like the town? Is it some place that you can connect with, that you could possibly want to live your life there? Where's home for you? Could it possibly be this college town? Or you know, once you're finished your career, you won't be back at that university probably ever. The recruiting process is serious. Is it bad? Is it bad for pro sports, this decision? As in allowing athletes to transfer multiple times. Well, there's no doubt, particularly in pro basketball needs college athletes. They need their fame because they bring that brand into the league. And now the athlete shows up with 1 million followers already. You can build off of that. Pro sports loves great college athletes. And of course, we know there will be some college coaches who continue to double down on one-year scholarships. That's it. You're not guaranteed 2, 3, 4 years. Every year you're going to be evaluated, and I might come back to you and say, scholarship time is over. Sorry, didn't pan out. Because they've already recruited someone else to take your slot. Transfers in NCAA, game changer. If You Only Knew on 97.9 The Hill.
You're listening to If You Only Knew on 97.9 The Hill. Here's Dr. Deborah Stroman.
You're listening to Dr. Debbie Stroman and talking about the transfer policy. NCAA college sports, that transfer waiver is not needed now for the next 2 weeks. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in that regard. I know the transfer portal is very, very busy. At this point, more than 1,000 student athletes, football players have entered the transfer portal. But we're going to see what's going to happen. We'll pay attention December 27th. See what the permanent ruling will be. But I do want to spend a moment around college football playoff and Florida State football not being selected after going undefeated. You know, I made a rule in my life around when something gets me really worked up, really emotional situation, to wait 24 hours before responding. So it's probably good that it's been a while since this decision was made that I didn't respond. But I am still very, very frustrated, disappointed, and I hurt for Florida State. I hurt for the ACC. It just makes me think of a few things. First being, why stay in the league? The leaders of the NCAA, college presidents, NCAA representatives, faculty athletics reps, everybody screams about, not everybody, many scream that the realignment, schools joining other conferences, travel concerns, that this is just bad for business. How are we going to keep this sense of amateurism? And yet this happens. Now, certainly we can blame it on X number of gentlemen in that room who made the decision to keep Florida State, an undefeated football team, out of the top four. And it's not the rest of the NCAA leadership in that regard. But it really makes you wonder, why would you want to join the ACC? And I'm talking about the money. There is no doubt in my mind that ESPN, the media giant, ABC, Disney, ESPN, colluded on this to keep them out. Why? Because of the money. I want to take you back to December 2020, when ESPN, ABC signed a major contract with the SEC, Southeastern Conference. ABC, beginning next year in 2024, will air an SEC game every week, including the regular late afternoon kickoff, and it can be featured on ABC's Saturday Night Football for the first time. Saturday night primetime ABC is the highest profile window, the biggest stage in college football. They're also going to air the SEC championship in the late afternoon. They'll feature late afternoon Friday after Thanksgiving SEC games. And this agreement goes along with their 20-year agreement that runs through 2033-2034. ESPN is going to carry more than 1,950 SEC games each year across the conference's 21 sports. Why didn't FSU get a chance? Defense wins championships. It can be done. I think this is really due to the gambling market. This was all about entertainment. This isn't about football and performance. It's about who can we put in the matchups to draw more money in betting. Boo Corrigan, the chair of the CFP committee, NC State athletic director. I have the feeling Florida State is not going to be happy whenever they play the Wolfpack. Stay tuned. The drama continues in college sports. It's fun to report on it. It's fun to analyze it. And I thank you for listening. If you only knew, Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill.
You've been listening to If You Only Knew on 97.9 The Hill with Dr. Deborah Stroman. You can listen to all episodes at chapelborough.com/ If You Only Knew.